appreciate you being here tonight. And we need your money to celebrate. See that already? Not really. We're very big fans of your friends. And I expect you. When I finish to keep it that level, we're here to discover truth. Not to necessarily help you one another or, gain odds with one another or whatever. And Tony and Mark, it's a pleasure to have you tonight. I appreciate you being here. They put a lot more effort into this than I have. But wasn't trying to water bottle. So, we appreciate you being here. And we don't feel that proud of one of this, and we appreciate you being here as well. The other thing I'd like to thank Dan Field out for this station on the subject that he has brought up. And I'm going to try to do the best I can to see, but I think there are some things we need to perhaps understand and discover before we get into this. Before you can have a divorce, you have a marriage. And what I'd like to know is, what is a marriage? Now, I haven't asked this question. And you know, if the new people come to write marriage according to the law and customs of those times where they live, that does not constitute a marriage. Not in the eyes of God. The reason that the Satan is able to get children is because you go to them to ask their permission to get married. That's not the place that the Bible teaches. I don't try to discourage people from doing this. But the state or the government has absolutely nothing to do with marriage. It is God. That's the reason why that Matthew tells us in his 19th chapter, whom God has joined together. Let no man put a mother. And as it depends, as far as I'm concerned, on whether we're trying to shut people out or whether we're trying to bring them in. The religious aspect of things is to change people's lives. And there are people that get medicine, and they are not perhaps obligated to God for the medicine that they come to Christ. Does God sanction every marriage? Well, I asked that, and he said no, and I agree. I agree that God does not sanction marriages, because the several things that have been brought up here tonight, such as homosexuality and other aspects of that some people's lives get in detail to. And we have people who are claiming to be married or joined together through homosexuality. I don't think unless God is a man here, maybe that's homosexuality. It's not even natural. And I'm assuming that God would demand that anybody who can take much of a natural situation, that they would change their lives to God before he would redeem them. Not only that, but if the people who are married before they come to the church or come to Christ, whichever comes first, and they're divorced, they're still living in sin. But the day they're divorced and they get remarried, still in another different stage. Does God demand that they get out of the recent relationship and go back to the first? I don't know how to ask about this. Not only that, two problems don't get the right. There is. And if we look at the next kind of thinking, we're missing a lot of the people, because there are many people who are involved in second marriages and have families. Many of them have lived together all the time. And I've done a lot of marital counseling. And I've counseled a lot of people, and then I've had people come to me who have been married and forcing decisions that I'm a part of. It's very difficult for one of their ministries in good standing to justify marrying someone who's been married before and divorced. In fact, it's almost impossible to do that. But you have to sit down and question. There are reasons why you can't be divorced, I think, every man. One of them is the divorce of the position. God looking back for unclean for marriage. Because the men were beating their wives. They were in charge of their wives. They were wives, Peter said, in the family ministry. And I believe, based on that scripture, that God to pay your marriage or your legal bills or any dues or whatever. Test number two is, what if her or his spouse does not want to be in the first marriage or whatever and become something like what we've heard of, you know, a homosexual or a blocker or any of those things. And she decides that, or he decides that he doesn't want to be in with her. In the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bible, you've got to go to every scripture. I'm not going to go ahead and answer this. I'm going to try to get over to all the analyze stuff, but that has been given here tonight. But in 1 Corinthians, it says, if the unbelieving in part, when in the part of brother or wife or sister, he was not a bondage in such cases. But God has promised us the kingdom. But what we're doing today is that we're not in bondage to the law in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 15. But there's a very important law of marriage and fornication and adultery and so forth that you have to hear. I'm telling you, if you're thinking this one scripture where it is says a covenant between whether a man or a woman is not under bondage in such cases. Because there are two people involved in a marriage. Each one of them has a wife. This is another problem with trying to pull someone out of the marriage and put them back into marriage. If I'm in a happy marriage, and I see something what is being talked about against us here tonight, and I decide I'm going to go back to my first house, and how am I going to convince her? I'm not just going to go and demand that she be the husband that she is married to now. The family, whatever, and they can separate her separately and come back to me, and I don't think so. I might like that, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in second marriages and third and fourth marriages that would like to get out of their marriage because the Lord God is similar. I can't believe some of the reasons out here have told us that our people want to get divorced or, you know, just get out of marriage or whatever. It is absolutely unreal. We need to establish the definition of a word like fornication. What is fornication? Well, I asked Mr. Donahue that, he said it's illicit sexual relationships. That's not what fornication is. Fornication is a man or a woman having a sexual intimacy with someone besides their spouse. And the doctrine of false land, of course, you know, has some doctrine. That's not what doctrine is either. A doctrine is any gift of illicit sex. Doesn't matter whether you're married or not married. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 75. If you have intimate relationships with the opposite sex, I'm going to throw that in here, you're entering into a state of the doctrine. So, if anything that carries through, though, if a woman or a man divorces their wife or husband, and they enter into a partnership with another person, whether they be spouse or not, they are committing adultery. I'm not afraid of that. I'll go along with that. But when you go along with these things, they come together. And somebody would say, based on what I just said, well, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to bring people in? Well, I'm going to help them out. I think the church has to take a good, long, hard look at all aspects of marriage and divorce and remarriage. And they need to determine the exact truth and the pattern that God would want us to establish. And then he can be illegal in his word. We have to abide by the word of God. And I'm not suggesting that we, you know, go on the contrary to the word of God when we do that. But we need to understand the meaning of words in our place in the scripture. It would be easy to believe that if you don't look closely, fornication is illicit sex. And adultery is, you say it was the enforcement of spouse and mother. Okay, it can be that. But it's not that. We're not saying this at any time other than sex. It's just intimacy. Would be considered adultery. And again, that has to be with a spouse of another. to be an unmarried person. And so, there's no way a doctor can write a Matthew 9:8:9 part A or part B. There's just no way the doctor can say, because there's something that is not accepted in the fornication, and there is something that is the doctor. But if you want to contaminate the brain and just say that way, that's against the word of God. I can't get out of that. And I think I talked about this, I'm only a very big mind that we talk about any kind of thing. There's no way in the world. In part A of his proposition of making this adultery, if he divorces his wife for any reason other than fornication and he remarries, well, I agree to that effect, but a break on his flags, I have to at least include in that statement some of the things that I have just talked about. For instance, God permitted Moses to give a private or a bill of divorcement because men were abusing their wives. I have counseled countless people, particularly women, that have lived in general marriage because they were married to some devil that just beat them and abused them and abused them. I don't believe that God expects a woman to say in that kind of situation. Now, I've seen a couple of cases where a woman has just placed a man in his wife. And I've seen that happen in my presence. That iron heart is male against female, and the male usually has the upper hand. Not only that, but if a woman marries an unbelieving man, or if a man marries an unbelieving woman, and they want to separate themselves from the marriage, Paul says that if they do that, that they are not in bondage to the law. We're talking about the law as far as the deal, what is considered that deal. And so I think we have laws and customs, and we have to abide to those kind of things if we want to have a good marriage. But the most important thing is we abide by the Word of God. If we want to use one to marry a man, well, that is a strong point. And it is true with being used here. And it does not fit in all kinds of situations. I think it's wrong that discussions such as this. Well, I was involved with David Eastman in a seminar one time many, many years ago. I've got a big problem that he put together. He said he was concerned. But, he used words like it's after all holy. He tried to gather the frame and in some cases, he had the ability to battle that. That is the quote of the Greek or the Latin. But he didn't just leave me in the dust. And he did just things for a few minutes and come back right around to where he was before. And I can disagree with that. There's no question about him on that. There's a woman that he likes better than his wife, she attracts his attention. Well, little than that, nor his wife does it. He wants to get rid of her, and I'll say to him, that is illegal in the mind of God. There's no question about it. If he commits fornication, or if he commits fornication, there's a reason to get out of that marriage. And I don't believe the women knows the problem has the right to that marriage to remarry. But the person that resisted true to their commitment to their obligation, they're not in bondage to the law if they prove the way I think. And I think that's not black and white. In the very grand one. But the fact is, whoever caused the problem has lost their freedom to do whatever they want to do. But the person, God does not expect no person to live alone. I don't care what the Pope says, it's not only him either. The fact is, God has never expected a man to live alone. He looked at Adam and he said, well, there's something else here. So he put in the same physical man that was the same man. Adam was the same one born from the man. Well, he woke up, there he was. And then he was sick. And I hope to you, probably all of you respect you ladies, but I was sick when God made me. And so I get out of this, but I don't know what I'm saying. The thought is to have this made here, only in these areas. I believe that he's now absolutely right. And I'm not going to go contrary to the scripture. And now we'll look at that, as far as it diminishes the meaning of where we're at, what we're doing. And from number 6, where it says that we're at the area in the road, marriage was not lawful. What is not lawful? It was not lawful. Lawful? I mean, but in the first place, we can't say that if an animal is not a Christian, he can't go Christian, not prohibited to sex with him. He can't pretend to be a Christian. And because he was a very powerful person, and in the end, his time was to say he was a prophet of the Lord, a man, in the line of people to be pulled out of that and just to hang on to it. He did not really want to share. And it is so much for getting to the wrong. And probably here, without a doubt, in the trial, they did not say it was unlawful. And that's the thing that triggered the reason why God was saying it. It was unlawful, but not on a physical basis, it was necessary. Unlawful, not the error. It was unlawful on a physical basis, but I don't think I can use this. This would be wrong for me, and it's not required under any circumstances. Whether he's a religious person or not a religious person, if religious people who live the Word of God, if they are, well, I should say Christian people. I don't know about religious people that are far from the Word of God as a person can possibly get. But the fact is that a spiritually minded person will bring forth the things of God and keep their relationship in first place. That's what matters to me. The Word of God's mind, the church outside, the regeneration of God's power, and they can share that with their church outside. But how does he say that you've got to come to some kind of an understanding and determine whether you're trying to keep people out or bring them in? And there are reasons why I think that people can be divorced and remarried. And I think that, that I can prove that from the Word of God. Then I cannot, and I believe that a homosexual has to quit. If he's going to be born again, he's going to quit practicing homosexual. The same way that a person who is committing adultery. I mean, you don't have to divorce your wife if your husband has been adopted. You can just work for the little boy out there, work around the wife, not on the way back and forth to the restroom. Walk into the front office and work with the secretary and create a relationship there. I mean, these things can be done in a lot of different ways. And so forth. But, my thing is we need to establish what marriage is. Is marriage an act? Is it a contract? Or is it a legal act? In my opinion, it's an act. Because a man and a woman have intimacy, relationship, intercourse together. That's when they become one. That's when God joins them together. Whether they're married or not, the Word of God says they're joined together. And I don't care whether they got any piece of paper in the law of this marriage life. I've got one somewhere. I don't think it's any law, but I got one. If there's any question about you getting married, I can forgive it. But the thing is, I stood before God and made a vow that I went through an act that made my wife and I one. That's what put us together. It doesn't matter what the law says. The law took care of us about being argued, but what we get involved in. And that's a big statement within itself. And I do believe in repentance. I'd be, less than naive if I really believe that. And I believe that a person, when they become a Christian, even when they get it, they need to practice that practice completely. The homosexual certainly needs to change his lifestyle, and that's not true. And I admit that there are people, and I've met them, and I know some. And every time they get a drink together, they are committing adultery. Because there are some people who are whittled out of their marriage in order to have another person of their liking, and there was no reason for them to whittle out their marriage or quit their spouse. And I believe every time that they go to bed together, that they are committing adultery. Because it is considered in the sight of God. Not based on the morals of this land, but on the morals. Our president simply is going to prove that in what ways that I can even talk about, so we don't have no morals. But there are people who need to do something about their condition and situation, the community and situation that they're in. Thank you for your time.